Great. My name is Bill Jenneret. I'm the president and CEO of Urban Innovation 21. Urban Innovation 21 is an economic development organization that is working to grow our region's new economy, right? But also working to make sure that, you know, as our economy grows, that as many people as possible, as many communities as possible are connected to the positive growth that's taking place.
And what drew you to be a part of this and take leadership in it?
So I love this city. Born and raised here. Was born in 1971. So, you know, I remember when our region's economy was driven by steel and manufacturing. But I also lived through the decline. And that was very painful. I mean, like, you know, many other Pittsburghers at the time, I had family and friends that were negatively, you know, impacted by the decline of the steel industry. And that was very painful. So in 1989, I left to go to college. And like so many others, I swore I would never, ever come back. And, you know, I was living in D.C. When September 11th happened. And we just had our first child, and that's when my wife and I said, we don't want to live here. You know, I want to live somewhere else. And it was my wife who said, did you think about Pittsburgh? And I was like, absolutely not. You know, and of course, I'd always come back because my mom and my sister lived here. My father passed away, but, you know, so I had family and friends here, but never seriously thought about, you know, living here. And started looking at it in new eyes, you know, around 2001, 2002, 2003. We just saw this new economy sort of sprouting up, and I saw a different Pittsburgh. And, you know, we said, hey, we can, you know, make our life here. And I started a business at the time and ran that business for a few years and sold it. And I was always bothered by the fact that while the city was coming back, so many of the communities that played a role in me being who I am weren't doing well. They were shells of themselves. And I said, if I ever get the opportunity to really help, I'll do that. And so got the opportunity to do some work for the Hill House, the Hill House Economic Development Corporation, and loved it. And, you know, that was a little over 10 years ago. And so thought I would maybe be here a year or two, three, but it's been 10 great years.
That's awesome. What would you say has made the biggest difference in getting to where you are today?
Values, right? I think I've got certain values that I'm not going to compromise on, right? And so it's those values that really drive me to do certain things. I mean, so when I say that, you know, I'll knock down walls to do work that's aligned with these values that I feel are at the core of who.
What are those values, and what do you think shape them?
At the core, I feel very blessed. Right, I grew up with just a tremendous family, you know, great role models. I had, I think, the best education that money could buy. And I say this as somebody who also grew up with a learning disability, right? And if I didn't have the support and the people that believed in me, I think my life would have been very different, right? And because of that, I just have, in addition to being, to feeling very fortunate, I believe in the ability of all people, and I feel this driving passion to work to help as many people as I can realize and reach their potential, because I had so many people that helped me.
And what did that look like? So it seems like you always had the confidence you needed to do whatever you was in your heart to do, regardless of what, you know, obstacles were in your way. Was it your parents always saying, like, go get them, you can do it? Was it a teacher? Did you have mentors consistently in your in life?
Yeah, so I had all the above. And for a good part of my life, I wasn't confident, right? Because having a learning disability, oftentimes you can feel that you're less than, right? But I had people that always told me that not only are you not less than, you're great, you're wonderful. Here are your talents, you know. Now here's what you need to do to groom your talents. So I learned how to work, you know. I like to say, like Will Smith, man, you know, ridiculous work ethic. You know, one thing I love, like, about Will Smith, he says, if I want something and you want it, I'll die before I allow you to have it. If we're going to get on this treadmill, right, I'm not getting off until you get off or I die, right? And I saw that work ethic with my parents and with my parents' friends, with my grandparents, and me, you know. And so I saw from a work ethic standpoint what you have to do, but I also saw what it was like to be in a situation where people believed in you. Now, that belief wasn't, it was honest, right? It wasn't just this, you're great, you're great, you're great, you're great. You know, it was, actually, Bill, that wasn't good. You can do better. Here's what you need to do to reach your potential. And like I said, it was a process. And, you know, there were times where, you know, I didn't necessarily believe in myself, but there were other people that believed in me. That was teachers, right? You know, not all my teachers, but there were one or two that I had that, you know, really believed in me and really saw what they felt was genius, when, you know, others might have, you know, saw, oh, he's just a cut up, or you know, he's not that smart, you know.
Yeah. So what are some things that you do currently and have done just to grow and develop as a leader, as an entrepreneur, and everything that you do? What do you do on a consistent basis?
Lifelong learner. I'm always learning. So I read as much as I can. I talk to as many people as I can. You know, I learn from everybody. You know, sometimes it can get on my family's nerves, but I can be in line at the supermarket and I'll strike up a conversation with anybody, and I'm learning, right? You know, and I learn through other people's experiences. I learn through reading and just really living and being a part of this world.
Yeah.
Observing.
What books do you find yourself, or I guess if you were to find the top five books you would give a young leader, what would you give away most often?
Wow. Someone that I just read and I love now is it's called The Fourth Revolution, and it's just talking about sort of the new economy, right? And, you know, what this world's going to look like from a jobs perspective the next 15 years. And so there's that one, which I think is great. Let's see, some others. You know, David and Goliath, Malcolm Gladwell, which I think is just an incredible book in terms of really, you know, explain to people, you know, how, you know, they can overcome, you know, some of the biggest struggles. So I like those, you know, those types of books. Making our Way. I'm trying to think who that's from, but it really just, yeah. So several, you know, I learn from all different types of books.
That's great. What are daily disciplines and routines that you have that keep you as effective as possible?
I check in with myself. And when I say I check in, I ask, why am I doing what I'm doing? Right? I mean, because the last thing I want to do is get in a situation where I'm just doing something because I don't feel like there's nothing else I can do, or, you know, I'm just doing it because I'm on the treadmill. So I do these check-ins, you know, are you, you know, satisfied with the path you're on? If the answer is yes, continue to do what I'm doing. If the answer is no, then I do soul searching to figure out how I can, you know, change courses and change directions. But for me, a lot of that is, again, and doing my core work, but also finding that time to be engaged, you know, to read, but to, you know, spend time with my family and my friends, and to laugh, and to just try to really have a whole life, right? You know, because I think for a while there, for me, work became kind of all-consuming, right? And so now it's about balance and, you know, constantly just asking myself, do you feel that you know, you're where you want to be, and that you have the balance that you need to have? And, and I love to say that, you know, the answer is always yes. You know, a lot of times it's no. And so how do I recalibrate?
Yeah, that's good. What have you learned about failure over your career?
Oh, man, I've failed a lot, right? I've failed a lot. But I realized that you get one life, right? And the older you get, the quicker time passes, you know? And failure is just, it's not failure, it's learning, you know? And what might be a failure is what you need to have in your life to actually get to, you know, the point that you want to be at. So I like to say with my business, the positive spin is that I sold my business, right? Well, the real deal is I sold my business for a huge loss, huh. You know, and it took my wife and I about 8 years to pay back the debt from, that business failure, right? But that failure was the absolute best thing that could have happened to me. At the time, I was devastated. You know, I hadn't really failed in a big way. I'm used to winning, right? But this was a definite failure. But if I hadn't had that failure, I wouldn't be doing this. So now when I look at that failure and I look at the amount of money that I lost, I see that as my MBA, right? And I'm so happy it happened, because if it didn't happen, I would probably, you know, might have been making more money, but I definitely would not have been as happy
as
I am, because I wasn't that happy with this. That was not what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit before we started recording, but just talk about your experience with money. So obviously money wasn't an issue growing up. What have you just learned about money? Because you interact with people all the time that may want to become entrepreneurs. Yeah. And I'm assuming that a lot of times their focus is, I'm going to, you know, create the next Instagram, and Mark Zuckerberg is going to buy my business for $1 billion. What have you learned about money? What advice would you give to young leaders?
The good thing is that, you know, I went to private schools all my life. I was the second person to go to, African-American, to go to Shadyside from kindergarten through 12th grade to be a lifer. My situation is very unique. So my father was a doctor, prominent doctor here. My mother has her PhD. She's retired now, but most recently vice president of a bank. She was dean of students at Chatham College. And all my grandparents went to college, and they all have advanced degrees. So I'm an anomaly when you look at really anybody, but particularly African-Americans, right? But because of, you know, my parents' jobs and circumstances, we had, you know, we had money. I went to school with a lot of people that had money. But I also saw a lot of people who were depressed, unhappy, sad. And you saw that there really wasn't this correlation between the amount of money they had and the satisfaction that they had. And so very early on, I knew that money in and of itself did not create happiness, right? And so I know folks that have tens of millions of dollars, you know, a couple billionaires, right? And you know, there's some unhappiness there, you know. And so fortunately, you know, I realized that there's not a correlation between money and happiness per se. You know, happiness is internal, and it's finding out, you know, who and what you are and what makes you tick. And for some people, money does make them tick. It does make them happy. But, you know, for me, what I've learned is it's about this journey. You know, I always set goals, and it's funny, you know, when I achieve a goal, I often think, wow, man, if I can get here, I'm going to be so happy. And you realize when you get there, you're like, well, this wasn't what I thought it would be, yeah. Right? And you realize that it's the ride. It's the ride. And it's really enjoying that. So that's how I look at things instead of, you know, looking at, you know, money or positions, et cetera. It's about how you get there.
Yeah, that's good. I'm a goal setter as well. Do you have a process for how you set goals or how you check in on them or anything like that? Any fun systems?
No, I'd like to say I did. I mean, I probably, you know, once a year, I'll set goals and then, you know, I'll periodically check in to see how I'm moving toward those goals. And then, you know, for me, do I need to adjust the goal? You know, am I still happy with that goal? Did I reach the goal? And so it's not an organized process, but it's definitely something that I do.
Yeah, that's great. I want to go talk about entrepreneurship a bit. You're working with young entrepreneurs a lot. Yes. And so just open-ended question, can anyone be an entrepreneur?
No.
Okay, you're pretty bored about that. Why? Yeah. Why do you say that?
It takes a special personality to be an entrepreneur, you know. One, you have to be a self-starter. You have to be passionate. You have to, you know, not be afraid of failure. You have to, you know, not give up quickly. You know, there has to be that's something that's driving you that often is not rational, right? And you know, that's not how most people are wired. You know, most people are wired to, you know, want a job, right? To want things to be, you know, laid out for them. And you know, the successful entrepreneurs, they're wired differently. And now I think a lot more people can become entrepreneurs, right? They can develop that mindset. So I don't think it's just a mindset that certain people have, and that mindset can be developed. But it's a process to do that. That I found, you know, a lot of people don't want to go through.
Yeah. So you meet with young leaders who maybe have never had anyone tap into their potential. How do you encourage them to dream big and go for it, and yet be realistic enough of where they are? Like you said, hey, yeah, people encourage who you were, but they also gave you the reality. How can we encourage young leaders that dream big?
I'll give you. It's an example with me. So my father was a doctor, and you know, like any son, you'd love to do what your father does. Well, you know, thank God. I mean, I knew in fifth grade that I was terrible at science, I was terrible at math, and it just wasn't in my DNA, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I could have struggled, but it would have been a really, 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 really tough struggle. So for me, it first starts with, who are you? And who do you want to be? And what are you good at? What are you passionate about? Or what can you become passionate about? Because that's what's going to often drive you to your goal. So that's one. You know. So when I talk to people, I want to know, who are you? I mean, what makes you tick, right? And if you know it's not science and math, then you don't need to try to become a coder, right? You know. So it's really that self-discovery. And I think that's really, really the start. But when you get hit in the face, when you get knocked down, what's gonna motivate you to get up, right? So that's what's really, really important, because especially with entrepreneurship, man, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're gonna take that blow to the jaw that's gonna stun you, if not knock you out. What's going to make you get up instead of saying, you know what, I'm good, I'm not going to do this anymore? And so, again, a lot of self-discovery.
Yeah. So when you're working with young leaders, what qualities do you look for in the people that you know, hey, with this person's qualities doing this, I know they're going to make it versus those who may not?
So passion, that's one thing. Learning, right? You know, if somebody's smart and they come in and they know everything, it's not good.
Yeah.
You know, how amenable are you to, you know, learning and continuously learning, right? I mean, can you take criticism? You know, one of the things that I hate is that, you know, I'm a sports fan and, you know, my son plays high school sports and, you know, AU sports. And, you know, what we've created today is that, you know, everybody's a winner, right? Everybody gets a trophy. Well, if it's not good or you don't deserve the trophy, you shouldn't get a trophy. So I want to see that young person that can take criticism, that can, you know, give you something you look at and you say, I don't understand what the heck you're talking about. And, you know, you can look at him and, you know, or, yeah, you need to do this, 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 and this. And, you know, sometimes they'll look at you like, well, I've only been told this is great. Well, if that's how you think and that's how you want to approach this, you're not going to be successful. So it's one, passion, right? It's that passion that drives you to do what's uncomfortable. But two, you know, that true interest in what you're doing that's going to, you know, make you sort of that lifelong learner and make you continue when it becomes tough to continue.
That's good. So someone wants to be an entrepreneur, but I'm assuming it's a pretty big challenge to actually get educated on the practicals of starting a business. What encouragement do you have for young entrepreneurs when it comes to everything that they have to learn, right? The accounting, law, everything, and the hurdles they may have to jump through to launch what's in their heart.
Yeah, so the first thing is try to work in the type of business or industry that you want to start your business in. Yeah, so all the time I'll hear people, hey, I want to start a restaurant. I'm a good cook. Okay, have you worked in a restaurant? Because there's a big difference between, you know, cooking mama's pound cake and her cookies than actually the business of being in a restaurant, right? And if you get in there, you might decide, hey, I don't want to do this, right? So I think that's one thing that's very, very, very important. It doesn't matter what level you get in on, right? It could be, you know, being the waiter, being the busboy, it could be whatever. So I think that's one. So also reading as much as you can about folks that are in that business and folks that have done really well. You know, one thing, piece of advice that a friend of mine gave me a long time ago was that everybody wants to give you advice, right? But take advice from people that have done what you want to do and they've done it well. Or, you know, take advice from, if somebody hasn't done something well, you know, you can learn from them in terms of what they haven't done well. But don't let that person tell you, hey, these are things you need to do, you know. Find some good mentors, right? But also realize that it takes a team to make a business happen and to be successful in business. And figure out who can be on your team that has skills that complement your skills. And that's really important, because most people think that it's the individual entrepreneur, it's the idea. Actually, you know, any venture capitalist will tell you it's the team. Because you don't have a good team, you know, the chances of being successful are slim in that.
Yeah, so can you talk a little bit about that? So one, how do people build great teams? And then two, like, how important is the role of the founder? In your experience, are most founders able to actually scale their business and grow with it? Or do they get to a point where the business outgrows them and then ultimately it has to be handed off? If you see the mix of both, and then if someone's listening to this and they're saying, I'm that founder, but I have no idea how to build a team, what would you say?
Well, so I'll start with the second part of your question. A lot of founders aren't able to scale their businesses, you know, or once the business is scaled, they're not necessarily able to run that business, because it takes different skill sets to be successful along the way. So a lot of times you have that person that's great at starting things. Well, once they've started and they sort of got it to scale, that's not necessarily where their skills lie. So there are one or two things that you can do. You can beat your head. You can try to learn to be, you know, that person that now has that new level of skill set that's needed. And you do have some folks who are able to do that. But oftentimes that takes relearning, you know, what you need to do to be successful in that next phase. Or, you know, you can hire and bring together a team. And a lot of that is pressing your networks and finding people who you've met along the way that have skills that you might not have. But that's of critical importance, because, you know, one person can't do something alone. And I've seen situations where you had these great sort of charismatic, smart founders that weren't able to parlay their business because they weren't able to assemble the team.
Yeah. Can you talk about, so if someone has an idea and they want to start something, one, the importance of getting feedback. I know you talked a little bit about receiving criticism, but how can people get feedback if they have a dream in their heart versus just launching and having no idea whether it's a market fit or not? And then, you know, what are some ideas for them to actually get out there? How can they find a network with people who actually listen, whether it's a VC or whoever?
Yeah, so you have to put together a plan. That's first and foremost. And, you know, there are a variety of ways to do that. You know, there's the traditional business plan. You've got the lean sort of canvas model. And so I tell folks, put together that plan. And there are a lot of resources, you know, on the internet that can help folks do that. There's a great website called startups.co, and they have a whole lot of free content, including this curriculum that takes you through what you need to do really what's called this lean sort of canvas that can really provide you with the skeletons of your business, and also takes you through a process where you're getting feedback from folks. And that's really important, because you don't know whether you've got something until you begin getting feedback. And sometimes, you know, that's a lot of times that's connecting with people in your network or people outside of your network. You know, if I'm trying to sell a candy bar, well, I need to get to some folks and say, hey, will you buy this candy bar from me? And,
yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to charge you $10 for this candy bar. And folks are like, kick bricks. Right? Well, you know that you don't have something.
Yeah.
And so you tell people to go through that process as quick as soon as possible. And, you know, it's okay to fail, but you want to fail as quick as you can and with as little skin, you know, in the game as possible, until you really have that refined product.
That's good. And then any last thing on entrepreneurship, any other open-ended advice, anything you'd say to entrepreneurs listening?
Yeah, talk to as many people as you can. One way to get mentors is to figure out how you can also be helpful to, you know, those mentors. So, you know, I mentor a lot of different folks, and had a young woman who I mentor, and gave her some good advice, and she told me about this book that she read. And I said, wow, that sounds like a great book. Well, about 2 weeks later, she came by and said, hey, here's a copy of the book.
Awesome.
Wow, that was really cool. So by the interaction, she's helped me, but in a way that, wow, I'm going to continue to help her as much as possible. So it's figuring out how you can also give and provide value. And I think that's the best way to get mentors.
Yeah.
Right. And so with my mentors, I try to provide value too, because, you know, they might have 50 people saying, hey, can you help me, or can you give me advice? And everybody is busy and they only have so much time. How do you rise to the top? But and you need those mentors.
So just give them gifts?
No, not giving gifts. Because if it had just been, so this mentee, if they had just given me something, hey, Bill, here's some candy, I don't need that.
Yeah, I
don't need that. But anybody who knows me knows I love to read. I love education. And when I hear about a book, I'm like, wow, that sounds cool. Let me check that out. Right? Or, hey, who can I connect you with? Oh, you know such and such? Wow, that's great. You know, because everybody, you know, we can all help each other. And or one of the challenges that I say to my mentees, I say, who are you mentoring? Because you're not mentoring anybody. I can't mentor you, because we all can mentor somebody.
Yeah.
What so is, that's how I screen.
I love that. What do your mentor relationships look like? I mean, is a strategy too where it's like, hey, we meet once a month. You come with questions. Is it solely organic? Is it just spending time together?
It's organic. A lot of it is spending time together. You know, I have staff members who I mentor, but it's really just trying to see where they are and just trying to help them, you know, one, figure out where they want to go, and two, figure out how, you know, I can help them get there. I wish it could be more formal. Fortunately, time constraints keeps it from being as formal, but, sure. You know, I do have folks I probably meet with once a month, once every 2 months, or, you know, folks that I work with for years that, you know, work with every day. And, you know, I look up and it's like, okay, we're not, you know, it's not a mentor-mentee relationship. You know, we're peers, you know. So folks that have worked here that are now, you know, working, leading other organizations, we're peers, right? You know, and so.
That's wonderful. If someone's listening to this and they want to partner with what you're doing at Urban Innovation, how can we connect with what you're doing?
Sure. There are a lot of different things that we do, from internships to, you know, providing services to businesses. You know, just shoot me an email, wgenerett, G-E-N-E-R-E-T-T, at urbaninnovation21.org, and love to get you involved.
I love that. Last few personal questions. If you can go back with your 20-year-old self and have coffee, what would you tell him?
What I would tell my 20-year-old self is always work and fight to be your authentic you, because you're going to be best when you are your authentic you. Don't try to be what somebody else wants you to be. And probably times in my life where I've been the least productive or when I've been the least happy were times where I was trying to be what somebody else wanted me to be, or trying to fit a role that wasn't my authentic self. So, you know, just make sure that you're trying to get to know your authentic self, because you change, right? You know, who you were when you're 20 is different than who you are when you're 30. So you always have to get to know yourself and just, you know, do your best to, you know, align your life with you know, your values.
That's great. Up to this point in your life, what are you most proud of that you've done?
Most proud of my kids, right? And proud of my marriage and just the life that my wife and I have been able to create, but really our kids and just the work that we both do, because we both are mission-driven people, and so much of our life and who we are is helping others, and so proud of what we've been able to just to kind of create together.
Can you expand just a little bit on making a difference in the lives of others? I just think you have a really unique perspective. You talked about when you came to Pittsburgh, a lot of the neighborhoods that you grew up with that were great were declining. And now you live in a wealthy area, but even in the wealthy areas, there's a huge gap in people you can make a difference in lives. Can you just talk about how you and your wife actually approach making a difference in the lives of others, you know, outside of what you do for your work? I'm just curious. I think you have a really awesome heart and perspective. So
yeah, so we're just, again, both feel very blessed, but we're also very compassionate about people. We believe in people, and we want folks to be able to reach, you know, their God-given potential, whatever that is. And what disturbs me is there's a selfishness. We've lost our our connection with each other, right? And so what's really important for us is just making sure that as much as we can, we try to help as many people as we can. Living in Fox Chapel, I mean, I went to school in Fox Chapel, but, you know, one of the things that disturbs me is the fact that we've got neighborhoods, you know, in the Fox Chapel area where folks aren't connected. In many ways, they're segregated, right? They're treated different because of the neighborhood that they live in. And it's just not right. It's just not right. There's no way to justify that. Religiously, it's wrong. Morally, it's wrong. And I just believe that we have to do our best to make sure that folks have sort of a basic launch point from which they can spring from. And one of the reasons that we have, you know, the drug abuse that we have, a lot of the other social issues, is because we've forgotten people. We've forgotten people, right? We've forgotten communities. And something that makes me very sad, but also something that motivates me and my wife. And, you know, we work in different causes to, you know, volunteer. It's Pittsburgh Promise and, you know, just trying to help people, you know, where we can, because, you know, as I take my personal situation, I meet people every day that are much smarter than I could have ever hoped to be, right? I'll see that kid in third, fourth grade, you know, then I'm like, wow, that kid's a genius. But will that kid's life circumstances prevent them from reaching their full potential, right? And if that happens, it happens in far too many, many cases, right? Makes me sad. You know, it's funny with entrepreneurship. You know, we work with entrepreneurs, and we have some entrepreneurs that they don't have the education that I have. You know, I was talking to one entrepreneur, they're in business for 7 years and business going well. And they're just, you know, very goal driven. And they think, well, my business should be here. And it's like, you're right. I said, but do you realize how successful you are?
Yeah.
I wasn't able to do what you did. You know, all my degrees and, you know, all the things that I do and all the awards I get. You did something that I couldn't do. Right. You know, and so, just helping people realize, you know, sort of their genius and their greatness.
I love that. And then last question before, I'll just leave it open-ended, but what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want to be remembered for, looking back?
Yeah, just that I left it all on the battlefield, man, that I gave it my all in terms of working to, you know, make this world a better place for as many individuals as I could, right? And I think that, you know, I have no illusions about the change I'll make. You know, I just want people to know, wow, he gave it his all, man. He didn't let up till he killed over and.
Yeah. Love it. And then just anything, any advice you want to leave us with for young leaders?
Yeah, well, I just want to thank you, and I want to thank you for what you're doing with leaders, because what gives me hope, and I meet with young leaders all the time. So yesterday we had a group of about 15 young leaders from Google, from around the West Coast, and what was exciting to me was they weren't just concerned about the tech industry, they were concerned about this world. And they were smart enough and hungry enough to come up with solutions that will make this world a better place, right? And so my only advice is just keep fighting, right? And work to fight to change those social problems, right? You know, not just your individual life. I mean, I think it starts with changing individual life and, you know, leading a great life. But what can be done to make society better? And how do we get out of just working within our tribes, right? We all got tribes, right? How do we expand that? Because at the end of the day, we're human. We're all human. And that's what binds us. And so, yeah, we'll just have to keep fighting.
Love that. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for everything you do for our city and really the world. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. Great. That was awesome.